All right, this morning we're going to look at this wonderful psalm, Psalm 23. The Bible always tells us very often that we are sheep, as we read from John chapter 10, verse 11, that the sheep, good shepherd, gave his life for the sheep. Sometimes have you ever wondered why sheep? Why did God associate us with sheep? Not with other animals that are a bit more classy or flair, they got more flair than a sheep. Like example, wolves or cheetah or leopard, you know, a bit more outstanding though. Sheep are not clever animals. They cannot defend themselves. If you leave them on their own, they probably won't last long. It won't last very long. Most domesticated animals can survive. If you put them in a bush or in a forest, they can survive. They stand a fighting chance. If you put a dog in a wild or in a bush, cats, birds, and so on, they can survive. They can find a way around, they can find food. But not sheep. If you release a sheep in a bush or in a wild, the sheep will be just as good as gone. They'll be given as a snack or be a meal for the wild animals. But the good thing about the sheep is the sheep provides wool and meat. I'm sure we all know, which sustains the economy of the country. Or the sheep stations that the owner depend on, and it brings good export dollars to the country or so. And I'm sure we all love to eat a good meal from the sheep. A lamb shank, leg of lamb, or lamb chops. Right, we all enjoy that. I actually was very blessed. When I was in the Northwest, we had a church friend. He runs Sherlock Station. If you know the Northwest, the Pilbara, Sherlock Station is between Port Hedland and Roebourne. The May family, wonderful family. Because he knows I'm from Singapore, I just want to know how big is his station. He told me it's bigger than Singapore. This station is bigger than Singapore. Can you imagine? So that's how big the station is. And he was kind enough, you know, to show us around. He said these sheep has to be shorn once or twice a year. And he showed us his quarters where the people live, you know, the shearers live. And it's tough condition. When it's hot, it's really hot there. Because in those days, there's no Google then. But lately, I Googled Sherlock Station. It's run by another person now. That was 30-odd years ago. A pharmacist owned three or four stations up in the Northwest. And they are big stations. So the duties of the sheep station owners are many. He has to be all-rounder. He has to mend fences. He has to... They master their sheep by using light planes they use to master their sheep. But in Scotland now, they use drones. They use drones now. So technology has changed. And during the many cyclones that we experience up north, a lot of sheep have perished. They die, see, because the strong wind, the floods and all that, they die. And you know, sheep are defenseless. So now we come back to the real world of this morning's message. This psalm is normally called the Psalm of Psalms. I'm sure many, many sermons have been preached from this psalm. And the 23rd psalm is the most beloved of the psalm, and it's perhaps the most loved chapter in the entire Bible. And you can see from this chapter, when we read, that there's a picture of rest, peace, satisfaction, are the dominant theme in this psalm. God's provision is complete in that it embraces physical rest, emotional needs, spiritual restoration, and moral guidance. It is a source of comfort to many, also those who are in sick beds. When they read this psalm, it gives them great comfort. And those who are dying and meeting the Lord. I was told of a story. A pastor holds an old Christian just before he passed away, hold his hand and quoted this psalm to him until he closed his eyes for the last time. So this psalm it brings great comfort to many. And Charles Spurgeon called this the pearl of all psalms. The pearl of all psalms. That's Charles Spurgeon. Definition, his understanding of this psalm. And I'm sure some of us can put this wonderful psalm into memory. Some can memorize this psalm from a young kid. And this psalm, I'm sure, is preached many a times at funerals, weddings. And David wrote this psalm. Do you know roughly how long ago he wrote this psalm? About 3,000 years ago. 1,000 years after Abraham, and 1,000 years before Christ. We know from Scripture that David was writing as a sheep. He wrote this as a sheep. But he spent some time also as a shepherd. We all know that. He spent some time as a shepherd. It was written in David's later years. When he wrote this psalm, he was not a young kid, a young boy. He wrote this psalm not as an immature and inexperienced boy, but from a mature man that God has given to him. The immediate lessons there is never to forget the lessons of the past that God gives to us. But to understand Psalm 23 in its context, we've got to look briefly at Psalm 22 and 24 as they belong together. These three psalms are called the Messianic Psalms. They are predicting, they are picturing, predicting for us the life and death of Christ. In Psalm 22, we have the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as a good shepherd, giving his life for his sheep. And we are familiar with the fact that Christ's cruel death on the cross of Calvary. Remember, Christ exclaimed these words. These awesome words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In Psalm 22, it is because of that experience of Christ's death that we as believers can say, the Lord is my shepherd. I say it again, it is because of Christ's experience of death in Psalm 22 that we believers can confidently say, the Lord is my shepherd. If Christ has not died, we cannot say that. We cannot say that. And Psalm 24 portrays the Lord Jesus as our chief shepherd. He's pictured here as a king coming in power and glory for his sheep. So Psalm 24 is telling us about the ascension of Christ after his death and resurrection. So sandwiched between the two psalms is Psalm 23. The picture of our great shepherd leading, guiding and leading his sheep. The three psalms can be described as it portrays the cross of the sheep, Psalm 22, the crook of the sheep and the crown of the shepherd. The cross of the shepherd, the crook of the shepherd and the crown of the shepherd. 22, 23, 24. So this psalm may be most well known and loved by all of us in the Bible, as Christ is pictured here as a great shepherd. So those of us who are believers or his children, this picture of Psalm 23 is the blessedness, the fullness of life follows the picture of the cross. But if you are an unbeliever, you may say, I love this psalm. I love the wordings. But you don't appreciate and understand and don't experience it until you come to know the shepherd of the psalm. You can be an unbeliever, you can attend a funeral, you can attend a wedding, and the pastor preach on this sermon, on this chapter, Psalm 23. You cannot claim it. And you won't appreciate it because the Lord is not your shepherd. It is only when the message of the cross touches your life that you can have that relationship where we can say the Lord is my shepherd. For those of us who are Christians, the 23rd Psalm is our creed, our simple creed. That is what we believe. It also gives us comfort throughout our lives. The theme of the psalm is peace as compared to our modern lifestyle. We can extract general principle from the psalm for our own good. So let us look at these six verses from Psalm 23. Let's look at these six verses and gain further insight into what we can discover God's truth for all of us and for His children. If you do not know the suffering Savior who bore your sins from Psalm 22, as I say, you cannot claim that blessings that is given to God's children. Okay, let's briefly look at the six verses. I'll make it briefly. In verse 1, there are two significant blessings mentioned. Firstly, it is divine protection. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Firstly, it is divine protection. When we start a new day or in our travels, we seek protection from the Lord. It is Yahweh, the self-existing one. He's not bound by anyone or anything for his existence. As he told Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, I am that I am. We have the same Lord as what David had. Same Lord. He is David's shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The verb is and not in the past tense. It's a present tense. As Psalm 46 verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And it's the same Lord that gave David the strength to overcome Goliath. It's the same Lord that helped him to fight Goliath. And we have our Goliath in our own lives also. Some of us may have. He's our divine protector. We do not have a past tense God. Our God is in the present tense. And the second benefit in verse 1 is divine satisfaction. I shall not want. It's a very big word, notice. A Christian reads this psalm this way. Jesus is my shepherd. I shall not want. What exactly does this word mean? I shall not want. The meaning here is not that we don't desire or want anything. It's not that. The meaning is that we won't be left wanting. We won't be left wanting. We are being told that the Lord's sheep are not lacking of anything. They don't lack anything. The verse that comes to mind is Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Our Lord will supply all our needs. But the trouble is we are people who worry. We always want more and more and more. We are never satisfied with what we have. We will reach for the sky also, sometimes in many of our ways. We are never contented and happy people. Also, David was himself a shepherd. And he saw Jehovah as his shepherd. He speaks in this psalm as he is one of the flock. So David here realized that as a sheep, he could be contented. He was a shepherd at one time, but he wrote this psalm as a sheep looking from inside. Because under a good shepherd, the sheep will be well looked after. But under a bad shepherd, the sheep will struggle and suffer endless hardship. So the good shepherd will look after us. In verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. Some of you might have heard of Philip Keller. Philip Keller was a shepherd. For about 8 years or so, he was a shepherd. And he wrote a book entitled, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. So from a shepherd, a real shepherd, a real life shepherd, he looked back and see what he had done as a shepherd. And as a pastor, he can reflect back. So Philip Keller, a pastor and author for 8 years, himself a shepherd, made this observation about the sheep he cared for during his time as a shepherd. When he wrote this book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, he made this observation. He says it's almost impossible for sheep to lie down unless certain requirements are met. And he says four things a shepherd has to have before you can calm them down. The first factor is that they are timid. Sheep refuse to lie down unless they are free of all fears. Secondly, sheep will not lie down unless they are free from friction and other sheep within a flock. Thirdly, if they are tormented by flies or parasites, sheep will not lie down as long as they feel in need of finding food. And also, the sheep will not drink from a fast-moving stream because they can be swept away. They're heavy, they have wool on their body. So if their wool is soaked, they will topple over and they will die if nobody is near them to bring them upright again. So the Lord provides the best of pastures if we allow ourselves to be led by His Spirit and His priorities. Even in the greatest of danger, fear, stress and uncertainties, the Lord make provision for us to feed us spiritually and physically as the Lord does with us. See, we are like sheep also. Sometimes there's uncertainty in our life. We are timid, we are afraid, but the Lord provides. Because the Lord has also not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now we look at verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in a path of righteousness for His name's sake. The first part is that the Lord restoreth my soul. He provides life. Here is where the relationship between a human shepherd and his sheep and a heavenly father, heavenly shepherd and his sheep moves in different direction. The good shepherd gives his sheep something no human shepherd could ever provide for his flock. See the difference there? The good shepherd gives his sheep something no human shepherd could ever provide for his flock. That's eternal life. The human shepherd can only provide what the sheep needed to maintain life. Yeah, the shepherd only can look after the physical sheep to a certain extent. The fact remains, he received his life after they have life. The shepherd inherit the sheep. Our Lord Jesus Christ, a good shepherd on the other hand, finds his sheep dead in trespasses and sin. He found us. We are all sinners. That's the difference. A human shepherd only can do so much. But our great shepherd has discovered us dead in sins and trespasses. As in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, if you read that passage. The spiritual understanding of restore my soul means that the good shepherd brings the wayward soul from death, unto life. John chapter 5, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. As a child of God, we have to keep the reputation of the shepherd, as in Matthew's. You see, when we are saved, as a child of God, we are Christian, we have to glorify God, and we have to honor God. Because, as in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let our light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we are not sheep, we are literally God's children, and we have to honor Him as a child of God. Our light's got to be shining for the Lord. As a child of God, we have to keep the reputation of the sheep. And in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. This verse tells us that God preserves us. Walking through the valley of the shadow of death, what does that mean actually? My understanding is we all sometimes go through that trough, that valley. Sadness comes into our life, difficulties. Could mean we face trials, can be sicknesses, worries, temporary hardship. Some may have lost their jobs recently, their career is terminated. They got mounting debts, family to feed, businesses have gone bad, economic slowdown. So all these can happen to any of us. So we face this valley in our life. We are not all the time on a high. We go through troughs in our lives. And He provides for us. Because all this we've gone through, Christ has even gone through greater than us. He has to face death. And yet He overcome death. So that is a consolation for us. Even all the difficult things that we've gone through or we will go through, there's no fear. Because He will keep us. He will preserve us. Because our Lord has gone through, He gone through the worst of death. Cruel death on the cross of Calvary. He has conquered death. And He can exclaim from this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Even when we have to die, say tomorrow or the next week, there's that comfort there in our hearts that we will meet our Lord in heaven. And the second part of verse 4 talks about the rod and the staff that comforts me. The rod actually is to discipline us. And the staff is to guide us in the right direction. I'm sure we all know this verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, He chastises us and scourges every son whom He receives. We have to be prepared to be disciplined by the Lord. Look, we all are wayward people. We are all sheep. We wander around. And we are prone to wander, just like lost sheep. Remember the hymn we sang last week, Come Down, Fount of Every Blessing. In the third stanza, what it says, prone to wander, Lord, I fear it. Prone to leave the Lord I love. Very sad for people to leave the Lord. A few months ago, I met a friend I haven't seen for several years. And she told me that the husband does not believe in God anymore. Because we used to serve before in another church. And to see someone who was serving fervently and suddenly do not believe in God anymore, this is worse than wandering from the Lord. Maybe he wasn't saved in the first place. So I pray for him that he will continue to search himself and come back to the Lord one day. So we are in danger also. We can prone to wander. And when our wandering gets worse and worse, we will abandon God. So may we learn from this precious lesson that we must not wander. And we look at this verse again, Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turn every one to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Sad. And in verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. What is this table that the Lord prepared for us? He provides us daily. He's our provider. Actually, it's not our bosses or our own wisdom or strength. It's the Lord that provides for all our provision. Even the breath that we have is from the Lord. But this illustration here also could mean that when a shepherd leads the sheep, because the sheep is very simple, they're a very simple animal, they may wander and they may be trapped by poisonous, they may eat poisonous grass or plants or so, and there's snakes around, so they might be bitten. There are dangers around ahead. So the shepherd always prepares a path for the sheep when they're traveling. So this is the idea of the Lord is protecting us in our daily lives. He knows the dangers ahead. We don't. We only live from one day at a time, but He can see years ahead of us. So our Lord is preparing for us, and He protects us. Especially those who serve in a mission field. Can you imagine those early missionaries? People like William Carey, who went to India. Hudson Taylor went to China. And for us, those who've been to Myanmar, Adoniram Judson, he served in Myanmar for 40 years, nearly 40 years. I'm sure these people have gone through tough times. The Lord has protected them and provided for them. And in those days, they don't just fly from one place to another place. We can do it within 24 hours, anywhere in the world. But they sail and they take 3-4 months. Some of them may have sickness on board, rough journeys, but yet the Lord prepared a path for them. And anointing my head with oil is a custom honoring the guests. That could include feet washing or so. But the oil to the sheep here, the illustration is because Jerusalem, Middle East, the weather can be very hot, just like Australia. We get a fair share of flies during the summer months. The flies will sit in the noses of these sheep, will give them headache, crawl in their nasal passages, and that will cause infection. So the oil rubbing on the sheep is to prevent all these flies coming in and into their system. So that's what it means, the anointing of the oil in the sheep's head. And verse 6, finally, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This last verse here gives us the direction where we are heading to. But before that happens, we have the blessedness of the Lord and the love of the Lord following us on our journey to heaven. Then our Lord mentioned to us in John 14, verse 3, I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive unto you, unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. It's going to be one big house, not many houses. In the end of verse 6, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can you imagine? We all live in heaven. There won't be any denomination differences. The Baptists, Presbyterian, Anglicans, Methodists, we all can live happily. There won't be any debates on how much water you need for baptism or how little water you need. So all this will be put aside and we'll be with the Lord in heaven. The Lord desires to be our shepherd. He wants to bless us. He wants to care for us. He wants to protect us. But our Lord never hesitated to make it clear that we come under His management and control. There will be a new and unique relationship between Him and us. There will be something special about belonging to the shepherd. There will be a distinct mark. We have a mark upon the man or woman that we can differentiate ourselves from the rest of the world. You know what's the mark of our Lord Jesus Christ? It's the cross. Our Christ says His word, "If any man would be my disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." The sad fact is that many who do not want to submit their lives in obedience to the Lord, but still try to claim that the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. What a difference that little word "my" means or makes. It is a difference between joy and sorrow, purposefulness and meaningless, eternal life and eternal death. If the Lord is not your shepherd at this point in your life, please come and talk to us. You're most welcome to talk to Pastor, myself, or any of the session members. We can point you to the right direction. He is my shepherd, and He also can be yours also. We are very glad and pleased to share with you on this subject of a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Anytime, you can ring us, you can talk to us, you can pull us to one corner, and we'll be very happy to share with you. Amen. Let's pray.